Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
Come on!
music from the Tree Drum Red Bull from Canyon Records CD's Powwow Songs recorded live in Seattle, Gather the People. And the particular song we heard was the tribal drum song, Let Us Give Thanks for Being Here. Ashwe greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. In today's program, we focus on wellness with a conversation with health and nutrition counselor, Mr. John Bolus. In traditional indigenous societies, people live long, healthy lives. The foods native peoples ate were nutritious and free of toxins. Most of our ancestors gathered and grew plants organically. They hunted and fished animal and marine life that provided fresh protein in their diets. Tribal people also remained strong and healthy because their subsistence life ways required physical daily activity. In modern times, many people are in poor health due to poor nutrition and lack of exercise. Many diseases, such as diabetes, have become epidemic in our communities. Health problems are also attributable to contaminants in our air, food, and water. Many indigenous peoples' communities have high health risks for eating fish from polluted areas, for example. People eating fruits and vegetables must be concerned about pesticide residue, since most foods are grown using heavy amounts of agricultural chemicals. Most foods and beverages today also have artificial ingredients or preservatives, which are not good for the body. The rise in the consumption of so-called fast food from places like McDonald's or Burger King are also contributing to poor health and obesity. In addition to poor nutrition and lack of exercise, people's state of health are being impacted from stress and a modern way of life that disconnects people from the earth and disconnects them from their spirit. For many indigenous peoples, generations of trauma from the legacy of colonialism and poverty are manifested in the symptoms of alcohol, substance abuse, and dysfunctional families. Just as our modern earth has become sick, so too have we humans become ill in this modern world. Within recent years, there has been a healing movement growing in Indian country. Many of our native communities have established wellness programs which incorporate traditional ceremony with lifestyle changes. Regrowing and strengthening one's spirit is just as important as eating healthy and being physically fit. Healing circles like wiping the tears ceremony are helping communities deal with historic traumas. Cultural events like traditional powwows and sacred runs are combating alcohol and substance abuse. Some tribal communities are reintroducing traditional food sources like the buffalo and salmon that nourish both the body and spirit. Another important aspect of tribal wellness programs are elder and youth camps where young people are able to experience nature firsthand and learn about the land from our elders. In an age of television and video games, this is critically important. I am very honored today to share a conversation with wellness and health nutrition counselor, Mr. John Bolus. Welcome, sir, to our program.
Good day. My name is John Bolus. I live in Naples, Florida. 30 years ago, I'm only 5 feet tall, 5 feet and a half inch. I weigh about 103 pounds. And 30 years ago, I weighed 155 pounds. I had every respiratory ailment known to man and took the traditional American route to try to get well, and that is doctors and drugstores. And fortunately, came in contact with a gentleman who had been in the same state I was in 5 years earlier, and he asked me one question. How would you like to have the body of a seven-year-old child? At that time, I was already 41 years old. I'm 71 now. And I asked him, what's the joke? He said, no joke. Think about this. Your blood renews every 90 days or so. Your soft tissue every 1 to 2 years. Your bones, cartilage, all the hard things every 5 to 7 years. Why then, if you don't supply all the proper ingredients to your body, could you not have the body of a seven-year-old child? It really hit home. He then loaned me a book by a very famous health author named Dr. Paul Bragg called The Miracle of Fasting. And at that time, I was loaded with mucus. I had every respiratory ailment known to man. I had angina pains. I was in very, very serious trouble. I don't think I would have lived one more year. And when I told him I didn't have the 7 years, he said, all this mucus you have in your body will be the very first thing to leave. If you follow this program, it'll be almost instantaneous. It'll be immediate. That mucus will leave you within a few weeks. It will never come back. I have not had a cold now in 30 years. We were designed to eat from garden to table. And what has happened over the past 75 to 100 years, we have become victims of the money-grabbing food manufacturers and the fast food industry, along with the AMA and the pharmaceutical people, whose number one goal is to maintain our disease at an acceptable level. I hope that phrase is hitting home. I'm going to repeat it. Maintain our disease at an acceptable level. If we get well, the medical and pharmaceutical industries lose. If we die, they lose. So the only goal they have is to keep us sick at a level where we can continue to function. I am one of the fitness instructors at a very famous, in fact, I feel it's the number one healing resort, sanctuary, facility in the world. It's called Hippocrates Health Institute. The director there, Brian Clement, is the most sought-after speaker on wellness in the world today. And the question we ask every new guest, we can house about 55 people on the property. We're always full. People come to us from all over the world to restore their health or to maintain their health. We have some very, very seriously ill people that come and within a few weeks have actually begun a complete recovery, and within a few months, sometimes 6 months, sometimes a year, fully recovered. The question we ask every new guest is this. Have you ever been successful in anything you didn't participate in? The question is very, very much to the point. The answer should be no. So we do not want to be looking to the doctors and the pharmaceutical people for our wellness. We want to be looking to ourselves. It's called lifestyle. Not just diet, but it's diet, it's exercise, it's rest, it's sleep, it's lack of stress, it's pure water. And all these things combined make for a very, very healthy life and lifestyle. I am a marketer of two product lines. One is called Eneva, Minerals for Life. The other is called Life Wave, Energy Patches. So the question you would ask me is, if you are sure that a very, very healthy diet of free of animal products, free of all processed foods, free of soft drinks, free of all acid-forming foods. All cooked food is acid-forming. We were designed to eat from garden to table without cooking. Now, it's very, very hard for some people, maybe for many people, to eat a totally raw, vegan, vegetarian diet. And we suggest that you make a transition in this direction, and when you feel that the transition has gone far enough, then you may want to just stop right there and continue with small amounts of cooked food, but never another soft drink, cup of coffee. All white flour is toxic, acid-forming. That includes pasta, bagels, bread of all kinds, ice cream, dairy products. All these things are poisoning us and making us sick. We need to be free of all of the, quote, Western world's food, and go back to nature, go back to our original ways of eating what was provided for us by nature. The reason that I have become involved in this company called Eneva is because we produce liquid minerals in a form that are readily absorbable by the cells. If the digestive system is not functioning properly, our minerals still work. They go through the upper stomach wall directly to the cells. Our technology is called angstrom-sized solutomic technology. We take minerals the same way that the plants get them and reduce the particle size to an angstrom, place them in our own purified water, and when a person ingests these minerals, they go directly to the cells. Pills and tablets at best are 5 to 10% absorbed. We are 100% absorbed. The human body is not a chicken. We don't have a gizzard. We can't swallow rocks. Vitamin pills and tablets are rocks, basically, and we cannot digest them. The proof of that would be to make a phone call to the city of Tacoma, Washington, ask to be transferred to their sewage waste treatment plant. and you'll be told that they haul about 250,000 pounds of undigested vitamin pills and tablets from their waste treatment plant every 6 weeks. I followed up on this information and found that the local landfill will not accept them, because most synthetic vitamins are made from petroleum byproducts such as coal tar. They're considered hazardous waste and therefore cannot be dumped in the local dumping facility. They have to be taken to an approved hazardous waste dumping or disposal site. And people are putting these pills into their bodies and causing more damage than they are good. Again, the human body is not a chicken. We're not made to take pills and tablets. So our products are liquid. We produce liquid mineral supplements. Why do we produce them at all? In 1936, the United States Senate published document number 264 that states the soil has lost about 70% of its mineral content, and that was way back in 1936. Linus Pauling, the father of vitamin C, states that all disease can be tracked to a mineral deficiency. The human body is not made of vitamins or enzymes. They're very important, but we are made of minerals and water. If you were to dehydrate the body completely, the only thing left would be a pile of minerals and nothing else. So we need to maintain our mineral balance. It's essential. And that's what our company does, and we do it very, very well. We have many doctors now, hospitals, natural food stores, clinics all over the world using our products to restore people's health and regain their own health. We have many professionals who have their own health challenges and are using our products, as are many, many natural food stores. Diet is just one facet and one aspect of a healthy lifestyle. In the old days, we were healthy and exercised just to stay alive. We chopped, we cut wood, we chopped it, we split wood, we tilled our gardens, we walked everywhere, we kept our bodies moving. Today, there is so much of a sedentary lifestyle going on that we have this sick rate of 1 in 2 people with cancer, over 100 million diabetics, where maybe 20 years ago we only had 5 million. So there are so many, quote, diseases, and there's only one disease in the world, and that's a toxic body. If you remove the toxins, all disease goes away. The biggest problem with the medical approach to disease is that they look for a fix for each disease. Something for diabetes, something different for arthritis, something different for osteoporosis, something different for cancer. That's the biggest fallacy. When you remove all toxins from the human body, all disease repairs itself and the body becomes perfectly healthy. Exercise must be a part of everybody's lifestyle every single day. And a variety is very, very important. I had the good fortune of working with the fitness guru of the United States named Jack LaLanne. And we worked together for a few days, and that's where I learned the value of variety and exercise. I'm not a long-distance runner. I'm a sprinter. I held the Florida record for 5 kilometers for 2 years. The Florida record before I broke it was 20 minutes and 53 seconds. I ran it 20 minutes and 40 seconds. I hold 2 gold medals, 2 silvers, and a bronze medal in the Senior Olympics. And I continue to maintain this lifestyle of running 3 days a week, and in between bicycling, rollerblading, kayaking, walking with weights, maintaining upper body strength. The average person my age, over 70, can no longer lift more than 10 pounds off the ground. Walking is not enough, ladies and gentlemen. We must maintain upper body strength.
I very much appreciate your comments thus far, and I really have no disagreement with what you've said. I will say that many Native American people, including myself, were raised healthy as meat eaters. We used to hunt moose and deer, and our relatives in the Great Plains were, of course, buffalo people. And I myself very much think that eating, some meat, not the amounts that is a typical steak that you see advertised in restaurants or in supermarkets, is good for you. But I would like to clarify this subject about eating meat and also dairy. Our people used to drink milk and were raised with livestock, with dairy cows. And in the old days, our ancestors, especially, again, the Plains people, were very much dependent upon animal products.
Well, thank you for those comments, Ellis. modern-day livestock, modern-day meat. Let me go back a little bit. When early Americans ate meat and consumed dairy, we must remember that those animals were not injected with hormones, antibiotics. They were not raised to mature very, very quickly. And also, they were leaner because they exercised more. There wasn't as much fat in that meat. And as consumers of that meat, you worked, you moved your bodies all day long. And so you could break those meat ingredients down, digest them, and have no problem with meat eating at all. And I still don't have a problem with that. It's the modern lifestyle of consuming meat with alcohol. And that combination is very, very dangerous. Anything over 4 ounces of meat produces uric acid at one sitting. So the way meat is consumed now is 12-ounce and 16-ounce steaks and pieces of roast beef and so on, loaded with hormones and antibiotics. When you consumed milk in your day, the enzyme lactase was still there, and so the milk could be digested. Now that it's pasteurized, the enzyme has been killed. It's no longer there. Homogenization, spitting the milk in a centrifuge, breaks down the fat globules so fine that they're so tiny they can go directly through the stomach wall and into the bloodstream. So modern-day meat and dairy consumption is very, very dangerous. Now, if you're going to enjoy a small portion of meat and you can get organic meat, grass-fed, not grain-fed necessarily, but grass-fed organic, that's just fine. Continue to do so. And dairy products, if you can find organic raw milk and feel comfortable with consuming that, that's just fine too. Goat's milk is much, much more just digestible by the human body than cow's milk. And goat's milk cheeses, for example, would be fine from time to time. And I once in a while myself will have a piece of goat's milk cheese or goat cheese. So we don't want to discourage you all from your meat-eating lifestyle or your dairy lifestyle. We want to make you aware of what's going on in those industries today so that you proceed with caution. Now, as animals die en route to the stockyard, they're ground up and fed to the live animals. They still do that. As animals die, they just grind them up and use them for feed. We must be very, very careful about our meat consumption and our dairy consumption. I hope I've covered that okay.
Listening to Wolf Mountain Native Radio on Honoring Mother Earth's Indigenous Voices Radio Network. This is your host, Oness, and I'm talking with Mr. John Bolas. And this gentleman is very well experienced in health and nutrition and trying to promote living a healthy lifestyle. And actually, what I like to use the word in English, speaking the truth about how, in many ways, the Western industrialized system of health and nutrition has tended to promote disease because in many ways doctors and hospitals and pharmaceutical companies and even the food industry in many ways does not have the interest of people's health and well-being, but is more in the world of business and making money, which is nothing new to this audience. One of the major historical concerns of mine speaking about nutrition is the role of sugar that has really been a monster to many peoples throughout the world, especially to indigenous peoples. And I remember some time ago reading a book about how sugar was used really as a colonial weapon to many cultures that did not have that in a diet. So I'm not just talking about the use of land for growing of sugarcane, which in itself is a major issue, which I would hope you might comment upon. That is a type of colonialism. But also the way in which sugar is pretty much used in all Western manufactured foods. And it's almost impossible to get away from eating sugar unless you're very careful and you read the labels on the items that you purchase. And of course, if you go out to restaurants and so-called fast food, which sadly many of us modern day Indian people do, like all Americans do, we have very little control over what are the ingredients, and sugar is used in a lot of products. So I'd like for you to please comment on this subject, John.
I could spend all day on that, and I'll try to make it as brief as I can. In your comment about the destruction of the large part of the Everglades, 500 million gallons of water, I believe, are pumped not even into Okeechobee, where it could have been held as a reservoir, but out into the ocean. And our tax money paid for that through producing a product that is our mortal enemy. Sugar is our enemy number one. About 25 or 30 years ago, when I began looking into this movement that we're in, there were about 5 million diabetics in the country. Now we have over 100 million diabetics. It starts at a very, very early age when infants are given these soft, mushy things that they can easily get down into their stomachs, like pudding and Jell-O and ice cream and soft drinks and so on. And what happens, first of all, folks, let me go back just a few minutes to say that you probably noticed that talking about products is not my first approach. I don't care if you put the products that I market second or third or last or don't even use them at all, and that's the absolute truth. My goal is to help people with their wellness, to help get, if they're not well, to help get them well, and if they are, to help keep them well, and if not one product is involved, it just doesn't matter. And I'll tell you on this broadcast that I'm a full-time country club musician, and so my income basically is derived from playing music, and this is just something that I have a love for and a passion for, because I was sick once. I know what it's like to feel terrible, and now I know how it feels to feel good every single day. If I want to go out and run 10 miles tomorrow morning, I can do it and not even feel like I ran 10 feet. And it's a wonderful feeling. I want to share that, and I want to be a part of your lives in sharing that information. Sugar is now being fed into people at such an early age that in the pancreas, there's a small part of the pancreas called the Isle of Langerhans where insulin is manufactured. And when sugar is just bombarded into that part of the pancreas, an infection develops. And what happens then is the beginning of the immune system of that infant begins to produce something called nitric acid. And it starts to act like a little water pistol, like little squirt guns, to spray the infection. Unfortunately, the beta cells that produce the insulin are destroyed by the nitric acid. And so this young child doesn't stand the chance of overcoming the beginning of diabetes. So our goal now is to keep sugar away from our youngsters. We would use a juicing machines or we would make pâtés out of carrots and broccoli and celery and spinach and things like that and fruits and begin giving those things to the infants. When an adult, they call it type 2 diabetes, that is more treatable and we can work with that easier than the child onset or type 1 diabetes. Now, when the body ingests refined sugar, and white refined sugar is the ultimate processing of the sugar cane. It goes through many stages before it reaches white refined sugar. When it does, that is 100% chemical. It is zero food. It is a chemical. It is a pure chemical carbohydrate. And it cannot be digested. Now, honey, maple syrup, barley malt, things like that, molasses, can be digested. However, when the pancreas looks at that, it doesn't look at it any differently than it does white refined sugar. It still causes the blood sugar to go up and down. It's still a concentrated sweetener. So things like maple syrup and honey and molasses are a little bit less harmful than white refined sugar, but still should be used very, very sparingly. There's a great sweetener on the market called stevia, which has food value, and it has no effect on the blood sugar level at all. It has a very low glycemic index. There are so much great natural sugar in fruits and some of the great things that are out there that our Creator put out there for us to eat. Now, when a person has diabetes, their biggest enemy is fried foods and dairy products. They will plug up that diaphragm between the pancreas and the liver, and prevent, even if you are making some insulin, prevent it from getting to the liver where it's supposed to do its job. So it's very important for a diabetic to avoid all fried foods and all dairy products. Extremely important. And, of course, to avoid even sweet foods for a while and make their diet mostly vegetables, raw if possible, because cooked vegetables are acid-forming. raw vegetables are alkaline forming. Now, carbohydrates become sugar. So we want to keep our carbohydrate intake very, very low. I hope I've covered the issues. Now, synthetic sweeteners, such as aspartame, are deadly. If you're going to have, heaven forbid, I have not had a soft drink in 30 years. If you're going to have one every 3 or 4 months, have a regular one rather than in a, quote, diet soft drink. Aspartame is causing brain tumors. It's causing all kinds of problems. And it was approved by the FDA in 1981 by Arthur Hayes, who was President Reagan's attorney, FDA chief at that time. He approved aspartame knowing it was toxic, and within a few weeks resigned from the FDA and took a $1,000 a day job with Monsanto's PR firm. That's how our system works, folks. Give you an idea about the profit in drugs. Lipitor and Zocor are used to lower cholesterol. High cholesterol has never caused a heart attack, ever. It's just a scare tactic when a person is deficient in lysine, proline, and vitamin C. Lysine and proline are amino acids, and vitamin C, when you're deficient in those, your arteries begin to dry out a little bit, they get a little brittle, and so blood begins to seep microscopically through them. Cholesterol is formed as a defense mechanism. You need the cholesterol for that. But the medical profession says we got to bring your cholesterol down. How do we do it? We produce something called Lipitor or Zocor. They sell for about $100 or $125 for 100 tablets. It cost them 61 cents to produce those 100 tablets. That's the kind of money they make. Now, to make the cholesterol go down, they poison the liver. That's how they make the cholesterol go down. Your doctor says, this is great, your cholesterol is going down. However, come in for a liver checkup every month. You don't need to get into that system, folks. It's a trap they set, and they want to hold you there forever. Modify your lifestyle, and your cholesterol will come down with lots of raw garlic, a lot of raw vegetables, lots of exercise, cayenne pepper capsules, lecithin, which can be bought in a health food store. Cholesterol will come down all by itself.
Flute music from Keith Beer from his Makoshe music CD, Echoes of the Upper Missouri. And that was a traditional honoring song to corn, our sister plant who helps sustain many peoples throughout the world and is sacred to us native peoples. That particular song was entitled Corn Silk Woman. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. And in the studio with me today, I have Mr. John Bolus, a health and nutrition counselor. And my next question to you, sir, is about the importance of people being somewhat cautious when they go into a health nutrition food store or any grocery store for that matter and are interested in purchasing health and nutrition products. I know in Indian country we've had for many, many years since the coming of the first white man to our territories, I use the word tricksters, people trying to sell us all sorts of things. The old days they came in covered wagons and they sold snake oil. And I'm somewhat skeptical about some of the products that are labeled nutritious and I'm wondering what type of concerns do you have and suggestions you might have for our listeners about examining food labels and really checking out the products they purchase just because it says perhaps organic or because it says naturally grown or perhaps it says no artificial preservatives or flavors or any other type of things added. You must be very cautious and careful in making sure you really do know what you're purchasing and even make sure you know what are the dosages and any interactions and perhaps even negative interactions or effects a particular food or vitamin or supplement might have. Would you please share your thoughts on this, sir?
This movement grows and gets larger and larger and larger. It will attract people who are very profit motivated. What some of the things we need to watch out for, if we go into a chain store, for example, or one of the discount stores, we will look for a calcium supplement, and about 95% of the calcium supplements out there are calcium carbonate. Calcium carbonate is limestone. It is blackboard chalk. And people are putting that into their bodies, and they're causing bone spurs. They're causing calcium buildups in their bodies. So we must be careful. We must be label readers. Many vitamin pills are put together. They have to use excipients. They put together with talcum powder. Ground up peanut shells are there. And then, to keep them from crumbling or breaking down, they're coated with shellac. This is true, ladies and gentlemen. You must be very, very careful of the supplements that you buy because it's a big industry now. It's going to be a $1 trillion industry within the next 10 years. So we must keep our guards up. We must be very, very careful.
You are listening to Yat Kedetshi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
Our guest today on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, is Mr. John Bolus, a well-respected health and wellness nutrition counselor. Another aspect of health and wellness that I want to mention for us to talk about, sir, is the importance of having positive energy, of having a good emotional state of health, because healing and wellness is also a matter of having your mind in tune with your body. And if you have a lot of negative emotions, a lot of negative energy, that also creates not only blockages and illness in the body, but it really doesn't help heal you. And one of the ways in which traditional Indigenous peoples have maintained wellness is through prayer and ceremony and having reverence for Mother Earth, of having respect for all life, and trying to understand that we have a responsibility as two-legged, as human beings, to live in harmony and in balance, not only with oneself and one's spirit, but, as we say in my language, kinai muntakwasin, all the relations. So I think it's very important that we share some comments about how behavior and one's own personal attitude, having positive thought, is also very much important for health and wellness. Would you share any comments you have on this, sir?
Clean body means a clean mind. So they go hand in hand. true that healing cannot begin in a body or in a mind burdened with sadness. And one of my statements on my dietary guideline sheet that I mail out at no charge to people is, hate, greed, jealousy, envy will kill you faster than the worst food in the world. We must never have hate in our body. We can't use this expression, I hate Indians or I hate Jews. Either you hate or you don't. You either have hate or you don't. And we must not ever have hate in our bodies. So we must lift our spirits. In order to be healthy and truly, truly healthy in every possible aspect of the word, we must lift our spirits in the best possible way. It means doing things that we enjoy doing. If you're in a job that you can't stand for another day, get out of it and find something else that you'll be happy in doing. When that unfortunate incident in Springfield, Oregon, when that student shot and killed his parents, and he went to school and shot and killed a bunch of his fellow students, the mayor of that city, Mayor Bill Morissette, came on national TV news and he said, I'll do anything in my power to prevent this from ever happening again. I wrote him a letter. Dear Mr. Mayor, if you really mean what you said on TV that night, get into your school system, get all the junk food out of the cafeterias. And he responded, he wrote me a very nice letter back, and he agreed with me 100%. He said, John, I do believe that the junk food our kids are eating does affect their behavior. So it all goes together. You can't put bad food in a person's stomach without affecting their minds. So we must put this together hand in hand, a healthy mind and a healthy body.
Pray
Music from the Hopi Mesas, Mr. Clark Tanghangwa, from his Canyon Records CD, Hear My Song, Hear My Prayer. And that particular honoring song to Kuan was entitled The Purple and Yellow Kuan Is My Mother. Prior to that, we heard from Blackfoot singer-songwriter Jack Gladstone from his CD, Noble Heart, on Hawkstone Productions. And the particular song that we featured was entitled Prayer for the Mother. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I want to thank Mr. John Bolus, Health Wellness Counselor, for sharing his comments today on Native Radio. If you want to find out more about Mr. Bolus's health and nutrition work and his product in Niva, you can look at his website at www.johnbolus.net. Now, of course, I don't want to endorse or promote any one particular nutrition health product, but as our guest was kind enough to share his thoughts today, I would like to at least invite our listeners to check out his website, and you can contact him directly. Well, we're going to conclude today's program with a very beautiful song entitled Color Nature Gone from Sound of America Records CD, Sampler Series Volume 2. And this, of course, is the XIT band with Tom B. Until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio, this is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Aho, Kinon Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
how a farmer paints the sky and the river's head turned to gray. The color green no longer paints the leaves, and the trees have all burned away.
To Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitichi Native Center. Yat-Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat-Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat-Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat-Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat-Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat-Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat-Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat-Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat-Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat-Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat-Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat-Kitichi's Kinonuatakwisin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations.